love the Lord and be available and obedient in sharing the gospel. You're not going to save anybody. You're not going to convince anybody to become a Christian. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But He begins by using us to be the vessel, the jar, to carry the message, the treasure. Malcolm, I'm going to ask you to come on up, and I'm just going to sit back and let him just share with you, okay? It'll take a while. There'll be time for my sermon, too. We'll see.
I had the privilege about a month ago to be invited to speak at a memorial service for my friend Dave Christensen. He had pancreatic cancer, and he fought it for a year and a half. And I went to his house,
and I was able to speak with him. He wasn't able to talk, but he could hear me. And his wife wanted me to share this story at his memorial service, which I wasn't prepared to do. And when they called me and said, hey, we want you to do that at the memorial service, I'm like, oh, no. So it pushed me. But the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you about that afterwards. I'm getting ahead of myself. I met Dave at the city of Renton when we both worked. I worked in the wastewater department as a maintenance worker, and he was the engineer for the same department. I liked Dave immediately. He involved the field workers in upcoming projects and always asked our opinions on what we thought about areas in the system that needed special attention. Dave and I both liked golf, and that started our relationship. We would always try and rattle, he would always rattle me when I was ready to tee off, making comments like calling me the pro's pro, and my ball would always go in the woods or in a water hazard. I retired in 2011, and we continued to play golf for several years. Then I called him one day, and he told me I was not going to like this phone call, and I said, why? And he told me he had pancreatic cancer. Dave fought the cancer for a year and a half. I called him one day, and Kim, his wife, answered the phone and told me that his health was failing and he could not work any longer. Kim wanted me to share this part of my story with all of you. I asked Kim if I could come over to their home to tell Dave about Jesus Christ. He and I had talked numerous times over the years about Jesus, and she said that would be fine. Dave always believed in something higher, a higher power, but he didn't have a name for it, and he didn't want to call it God or Jesus, but we always kind of talked about it, and as the cancer got worse, and I know when he was in the very end and going through hospice, they asked him if he wanted someone to talk to him about God, and he didn't want anybody. And so I'm at his house now. The following day, I sat next to Dave and held his hand. I shared with him that God loved him so much that he sent his one and only son on earth to be sacrificed for him and all mankind's sins. The Bible says that whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God will not perish but have eternal life in heaven. I told him that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and just the penalty for sin is death and separation from God. But the Bible also says that God is faithful and just, and that he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we will be saved and have everlasting life in heaven. Dave could not speak at this time, so I asked him to squeeze my hand if he heard what I had said. With what little strength he had, he did. I will end my time with this short story I read to Dave on the day before he passed. It is written by Billy Graham and is entitled, From Time to Eternity. The scripture is, we give thanks to God because of hope, which is laid up for us in heaven, Colossians 1, 3 and 5. Once I stood in London to watch Queen Elizabeth return from an overseas trip. I saw the parade of dignitaries, the marching bands, the crack troops, the waving flags. I saw all the splendor that accompanies the homecoming of a queen. However, this was nothing compared to the homecoming of a true believer. At that moment of death, the believer enters heaven itself, carried upward by the angels to the glorious welcome awaiting the redeemed. From our human viewpoint, death is always tinged with sadness. It is not wrong to mourn. The loss of a loved one, Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. But the Christian should never consider the death of a fellow believer a tragedy. Paul said we should not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Yes, we have hope. The way to heaven may lie through the valley of the shadow of death, but the angels accompany us all the way, and beyond that shadowy valley is heaven, our glorious home. After I read this, there were 160 people at this service, and five people who I didn't even know came up to me and thanked me for that message, because everybody that knew Dave just knew him through work, and no one really spoke about Jesus there except the pastor at the end. The pastor even said, "You just did my sermon for me." But I got a letter from another lady, and she sent it to my home, and she'd worked with Dave for 30 years. And she'd been praying for him, and she had had a meeting set up with him for lunch, but he wasn't able to make it because of his illness. And she went to that service thinking it was going to be kind of a somber time because she felt really bad that she hadn't talked to him. And when I got up there and shared what I'd done with Dave, with Jesus, she was so, so happy and so grateful. And I know that when I called Dave, when I found out that he was home and he was dying, I told his wife, you know, I'll call me if you need anything, you know, I'll be glad to help. And I hung up the phone, and then I realized that you got to tell him about Jesus again. Even though we've been talking about it, I had to go back and do it again. And so I picked up the phone, and I was thinking she wouldn't want me to come. And she said, "I'd love to have you come over." And so he lived in Auburn. And so I drove back there, and I spent an hour with him, and she was crying. I was crying, his son was crying, and all these people heard the gospel, and I know that Christ gave me that. Christ moved me to go do that, because I really didn't want to do it, but this guy over here, he's always telling us, spread the gospel, and this was an opportunity. When people are dying, they're willing to hear it. Do I know for sure that Dave accepted Christ? I don't know. But he heard what I said. He squeezed my hand. And I had written in here that I believe he's in heaven now. And we're going to squeeze each other's hand again. Amen. Someday in heaven. Amen. Thanks.
Romans chapter 10. Starting at verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.